Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses 31 through 32 in just a moment. And the title of our message this morning is The Record of Your Life. The Record of Your Life. You know, I read an article titled The Record of Your Life as a Digital Archive. And it was the story of a family that was forced to evacuate from New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. You remember the disaster that was when the whole city flooded, right? And they had little time to take their belongings with them, so the only things they chose to take were these two huge steamer trunks that were filled with old family photographs, important documents, and records. Later, they said, "Never again. We are digitizing all of our photos and records so that all we have to do in the future if we have to evacuate is take a little USB drive with us." Amen. And isn't it amazing that the digital record of your life can fit on a tiny little thumb drive? It's incredible. But there's another more important record of your life that is being kept in great detail. And that is the spiritual record of our lives. The Bible reminds us that God is keeping a record of our lives. The Bible says He has a book of deeds where He records the record of our life. And it is a record so detailed that Jesus says He even records every idle word that we speak. Amen. We may have to be a lot more quiet than we are. Amen. But the Bible reminds us time and again that God is keeping a record of our lives. And one day, we will stand before Him as He reviews that record before us. And today, we want to look at God's abbreviated record of forefathers. Now, this message is for everybody. It's for fathers. It's for grandfathers. It's for men who one day hope to be a father. It's for those who are father figures. It's for mothers. And there's something in here for every Christian, because a lot of the truths we're going to speak about today apply to every Christian. So I want everybody to listen up. But read with me, if you will, Genesis 5, verses 21 through 32. It's a big passage of scripture, so I'm going to read fast, so you listen quick. Amen. It says, "When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. When Methuselah was 187 years old, he became the father of Lamech. After the birth of Lamech, Methuselah lived another 782 years." We have anybody that old here? No, I'm just kidding. "And he had other sons and daughters. Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. When Lamech was 182 years old, he became the father of a son. Lamech named his son Noah." Anybody recognize the name Noah? That's probably the only one that's familiar to most of us out of this list. "But he had a son named Noah, for he said, 'May he bring us relief from our work and the painful labor of farming this ground that the Lord has cursed.' After the birth of Noah, Lamech lived another 565 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem." Can you imagine having a baby at 500 years old? "He became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Then skipping to chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth." In these few verses that we read, we find God's abbreviated record of forefathers, and we see a godly heritage being passed down from generation to generation. Now, I want you to notice something. When God recorded these lives for us, He didn't tell us anything about their career. We don't know what they did as a profession or a job. He didn't tell us anything about their accomplishments. Did they have college degrees? Did they not? Did they have a big 401k? We don't know any of that. He didn't tell us anything about any positions that they may have held in society or how much money they had, because in the end, when you take your final breath, none of that matters. None of that matters. There are only two main aspects of their life that God recorded in this brief account for us. And because God only recorded these two aspects of their life, God is revealing to us what is most important to Him about how we live our lives, especially as fathers and mothers. The first truth that is revealed about them is their spiritual life, their relationship with God. Why? Because to God, that is the most important thing about our earthly life. So, for instance, with Enoch, twice he tells us that Enoch walked closely with God. Of Noah, it says he was a righteous man. So God told us about their spiritual life. The second truth that is revealed about them is the spiritual impact that they had on others, especially their family, for generations to come. As we look at the brief record of each of these fathers' lives, God is speaking to all of us, but especially to fathers and to parents, about what is important to Him. The first thing I want us to see is that God calls all of us to be a testimony. Amen. Enoch, the first man in this chain, a family chain, left a testimony that glorifies God. Being a testimony is living a life in close fellowship with God. Amen. Enoch is the first person in the Bible of whom it is said that he walked in close fellowship with God. And God repeated that twice, and that is what summed up his life in God's sight. He walked in close fellowship with God. When you are gone, I want to ask you, what will people say about you? What will your children say about you? Will they be able to say, my dad had a close relationship with God? My dad was a man of faith. My dad talked to Jesus regularly. My dad lived a righteous life. What will they say about you? Will they say he worked hard, he had a good job, he paid the bills, he drove a nice car? What will they say about you? Recently, there were two billionaires, you probably saw it on the news, Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson, who made history. You know what they made history for? Being the first civilians to go to space in aircrafts built by their own companies. They have both accomplished more in their lifetime than 99.9999999% of people on earth. But let me tell you something. The size of their bank account or being the first person in history to go into space, none of that will matter in eternity. The most important question to ask is, do either of them have a relationship with God? And the most important thing that can be said of any of us is that we walked in close fellowship with God. And both Bezos and Branson are fathers, and they will likely leave a fortune for their children. But will they leave a testimony of faith for their children to follow? Because that is what is most important. And something I want you to notice is that Enoch went to space before Bezos or Branson. He was really the first civilian, and he didn't need a spaceship. He experienced his own personal rapture or catching away. He disappeared because God took him. Someone said it this way, said, Enoch walked in so close fellowship with God that one day God said, Enoch, you're closer to my home than yours. So just come on and stay with me. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Enoch didn't die. God just caught him up and took him straight to heaven. But Enoch's real claim to fame is not that he was the first man to have a personal rapture, but that he walked in close fellowship with God. And he left a testimony that impacted generations to follow and still impacts us today. We know that at least four generations of his family later, Noah became the second person in the Bible of whom it is said he walked in close fellowship with God. That's exactly what was said of his great-great-grandfather. Enoch walked in close fellowship with God. Now, four generations later, it says Noah walked in close fellowship with God. And because he made God the center of his life, his son, his grandson, and his great-grandson Noah loved and served the Lord, so that Noah was called the only righteous man in the earth in that day amidst all of the evil and immorality. That's why, if you remember the biblical story, Noah and his family were the only ones who were saved by building an ark, and the whole earth was judged with a flood because mankind was continually wicked. You remember that story in the Bible? The story of Noah and the flood? Amen. Noah was the only righteous man in that day. A preacher was talking to a group of kids in a Sunday school class, and the preacher asked them the question, "Why do you love God?" The best answer he got, and he got several, but the best answer he got was from a young girl that said, "Well, preacher, I don't really know why I love God. I think it just kind of runs in my family." Dads, may you have such a godly impact on your kids that they will love God too because it runs in their family. You know why? Because they're going to follow your example. They're going to learn from you. If God is important in your life, God is going to be important in their life. If you talk to God daily, they'll talk to God daily. If you love Jesus, they'll love Jesus because they'll want to be like you. So let loving God run in your family. God's brief record of Enoch's life included only two facts: his faithful walk with God and the fact that he was a father who passed on his faith. And because God only recorded those two facts for us, God is telling us that in the end, those are the two things that matter the most. That's what Enoch lived for. And I'm asking you, fathers, is that what you're living for? The most important thing in this earthly life and for eternity is your relationship with God and passing your faith on to your children. Being a testimony is not just walking in close fellowship with God, but being a testimony is living a life that pleases God. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it talks about Enoch. And it said, "It was by faith that Enoch was taken to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God." Amen. Who pleased God. Pleasing God means living according to God's will, obeying God's word, amen? Doing what God wants us to do. Enoch was not only the first man in the Bible of whom it is said that he walked with God in close fellowship, but he is the first man in the Bible to be personally raptured. He didn't die, he was just taken into God's presence. Walking with God, I want us to understand, is not an occasional thing. Walking with God is not a Sunday morning, I'm going to go to church thing. Walking with God is a lifestyle of pleasing God. And when we live that way, not only does it honor God, but it impacts others, especially our family. Pleasing God is our faith. It's our relationship with God. It is our obedience to God. And it is lived out in everything that we say and do. Your children will learn the importance of God by the priority that you place on God. The priority you place on prayer, on family devotions, on attending and serving in church, on tithing, on living a life of obedience. Kids are 84% more likely to serve God as an adult if their parents practiced their faith at home, attended church regularly, and were involved in ministry. Amen? You want your kids to serve the Lord? Which is the best life possible? You want them to make wise decisions? You've got to live your life as a testimony before them, because your children will learn the priority to place on God by the priority you place on God. Enoch lived a life pleasing to God, and he went to be with God. And because of his influence, his son Methuselah, his grandson Lamech, and his great-grandson Noah all loved God, and they are in heaven today because he pleased God. That was the testimony of his life. And I say, fathers, parents, what is the testimony of your life that you are leaving to your children? Because your life is sending a message to your children for good or for ill. What is the testimony of your life that you are leaving for your children? Is the testimony of your life leading them to God? That's what's most important. So secondly, we're going to look at the second father in this list, Methuselah. And from him, we learn that God calls us to leave a legacy. So from Enoch, we learn that God calls us to leave a testimony. From Methuselah, we learn that God calls us to leave a legacy. A legacy is a gift that is handed down from one person to another. What is the legacy that you are leaving for your children and for generations to come? We need to live a legacy of faithfulness. Methuselah is most known for being the oldest man in the Bible. That really is what we generally acknowledge him for. It says Methuselah lived 969 years and then he died. We're not told much else about Methuselah other than the fact that he was the father of Lamech and had other sons and daughters. But because of the lack of information, some have called him a genealogical placeholder. Somebody just in the name, in name only, in a list to let us know the generations of a family. And he lived a long life, but they say he didn't do much else. But I believe that God included him for us exactly where he wanted us to know about Methuselah, to convey the message he had for us. The silence about Methuselah's life speaks loudly because God is telling us that in the end, nothing else matters than our relationship with him and the impact that we've had on our families and others. The name Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent. When it is dead, it shall be sent. What does that mean? What is that talking about? First, we know Enoch, who walked closely with God. He knew the heart of God. And so he gave his son a prophetic name. When he is dead, it shall be sent. And it signaled that something significant was going to take place when Methuselah died. What was it significant that took place when Methuselah died? The judgment of God in a flood came upon the earth. And I believe that because Enoch was a righteous man and he saw the increasing wickedness on earth, he was praying, God, do something. And when his son was born, he gave him that prophetic name because he was believing, because God had spoken to his heart. He was believing that God was going to take care of the wickedness that was coming on the earth. Wow. And every day that Methuselah lived, just by his name, he was a prophet. God's messenger to his family and to everyone he knew him. Every time they said Methuselah, it was a prophetic declaration that God was coming in judgment to deal with the wickedness on earth. In the midst of a world that was becoming increasingly wicked and a culture that was much like the culture today, permeated by sin and evil, God was not going to let it go on forever. Because, you know, as a righteous person, when you see that, it grieves your heart. I don't know about you, but as I see the sin and immorality that is flagrantly paraded in this world, it grieves my heart. And I'm sure it grieved Enoch's heart and Methuselah's heart. I know it grieved Noah's heart. It took great faithfulness for Methuselah to keep speaking the same message over and over again for 969 years. You better get right, God is sending judgment. You better get right, God is sending judgment. For 969 years, Methuselah preached the same message. And it's hard to do that. It takes faithfulness, especially when people are not listening, and we know they weren't listening because it kept getting worse. But his message had an impact on his son Lamech and on his grandson Noah. Fathers, parents, you are God's messenger to your home. You are the primary preacher in your home. Amen? Not me, because I'm only with you for an hour and a half on Sunday morning most of the time.
Go ahead, Pastor.
You are the primary messenger that God has sent into your home to teach your children the ways of the Lord, to teach your children the Word of God, to teach them to walk in faith. Amen? And even when it doesn't seem like they're listening or that they don't want to hear, it's so important to be faithful, to keep telling them the truth, to keep telling. You know, my dad's been gone about 10 years now, and I still hear his voice in my head because he was always giving out sage advice, you know. And one thing he always told us when we were leaving the house, you know, check your tires. look around you when you're driving, make sure when you stop at a light, nobody, and I hear his voice in my head. I walk out of the house and I hear, check your tires. And I'm looking around, you know. You may not think your kids are listening, but they're hearing you. And they hear you on things that are much more important than checking your tires. Amen. They hear you about what you're telling them about God and living right and loving God and honoring Him. So keep being faithful to talk to them about the Lord, to tell them about the Word of God, to teach them how to walk in God's ways, because it will have an impact on their life. Leave a legacy of faithfulness. Leave a legacy of grace. The fact that Methuselah lived for 969 years and died the year of the flood, isn't that amazing? His name said, when he's dead, it will be sent. The year he died, God sent the flood. Isn't that amazing? And that was predicted by his father 969 years before the flood came. But that's how God works. Amen. So for 969 years, he died the year God sent the flood. God was saying, I am being as gracious as I can. God held back 969 years, sending judgment. And God was saying, I'm being as gracious as I can to give mankind opportunity to repent. God is so gracious and patient. He's always giving us time to repent so that our lives can be changed and we can know him and we can live for him. In 2 Peter 3:9, talking about the end of the age, because folks, there's another time of judgment coming, but it will be the ultimate judgment. There will be nothing beyond that except for those who have served Christ, unlike in Noah's day. And so we know that there's a judgment coming, the end of the age. And in 2 Peter 3:9, it tells us the only reason that God is holding back that judgment. It says, the Lord isn't really slow concerning his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So, you know, we have all these scriptures and prophecy about the end times and about how God is going to bring judgment to end the wickedness of mankind, the sinfulness of mankind, and that Jesus Christ is going to come back for those that are his own, and he's going to take us to be with him, and he's going to establish his reign. And we have all these promises concerning the end. And we're like, where is it, God? Where is it? Well, God is not slow concerning his promise. God is giving every person an opportunity in his grace to repent. That's how gracious God is. He's holding back the judgment that the world deserves so that others can have an opportunity to repent. The fact that he has us, his church, still in the world today to herald his message is his grace. Because right before the judgment starts to be poured out on the world, God is going to take us out. That's what the Bible says. But the fact that we're still here to preach the message of God's love and of God's grace and to call people to repentance, that is because God is still dealing with man. God is being gracious to give people an opportunity to repent. And fathers, you are instruments of God's grace to lead your family to the Lord. And like the Heavenly Father, I encourage you to do it with great grace and patience. Because when you do it with harshness and anger, it provokes your children to rebellion. But when you do it with grace and patience, it draws them. It draws them. And to have children like Noah, who serve the Lord and impact the world for Christ, is your greatest job, parents. And it will be your greatest accomplishment, not only in this life, but in the life to come. If you can say, I live my life as a testimony, and I left a legacy because my children are serving the Lord as well, that will be your greatest accomplishment.
Good,
amen.
Amen.
The third truth that we learn is that God calls us to be instruments of his salvation. We are called to lead our family to love and serve God.
Yes.
Lamech, his name means pauper or lowly. He apparently must not have been very successful or wealthy according to world's standards. But in God's eyes, Lamech was rich. He was rich in faith, and he was successful in what really mattered because he lived a life of faith and he led his family to serve the Lord. And Noah is proof of that. The most important thing to pass on to your children is not an inheritance, it's not a house, it's not money, it's faith. And the greatest success that you can accomplish in life is whether or not your children will serve the Lord. long after you're gone. You know, Noah lived in a time of unrestrained wickedness. But the fact that Noah found grace, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the fact that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord and is characterized as a righteous man or blameless man in his generation is because he walked faithfully with God. He walked in close fellowship with God, just as his grandfather Enoch did. And it is a testament to his father Lamech's godly influence. Proverbs 22:6 instructs parents, train up your child in the way that they should go. Parents, that's your responsibility. Train them up to love God. Train them up to honor God. Train them up to live righteously. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, you want to be the number one spiritual influence in your children's lives, to introduce them to Christ, to help them develop a relationship with God. So long after you're gone and they're old, they're still serving the Lord. They're still serving the Lord. So that means training them up to love and serve the Lord. Train them up by praying with them daily, by having regular family devotions, a time where you read scripture together and you talk about it and you help them to understand. You know, when they're younger, you can only do Bible stories with them. As they grow older, you can do principles of the Bible and help them to understand how it applies to their life and how it will help them make the right decisions and choices. Train them up by living a life of obedience to God's word. Because when it comes to spiritual things, it can't be do what I say and not what I do.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
It's got to be follow my example as I follow Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So live a life of obedience to God's word before them. Bring them to church. Let us partner together with you. We have children's church. We have youth ministry. We have all sorts of things to help you train your children in the ways of the Lord. We want to partner together with you. Bring them to church. Serve in ministry. I was astonished at the statistics of how much it increases that children will continue to serve the Lord as an adult if they see their parents serving in ministry in the church. Isn't that amazing? God, awful quiet in me in here today. That's where we can say, oh me, or amen. Amen. Oh, me, if you're not doing it, amen. If yes, I'm doing it, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I was watching the Olympics last year, and during the track and field events, the commentators kept talking about how the U.S. men's relay team has a very bad record of dropping the baton when they're passing it from one runner to the other. And these commentators kept saying, it's going to be very hard for the Americans to medal in the relay race because they really have a problem with the transitions. They don't hand off the baton well, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? We're handing off a baton that's much more important.
That's right.
It's a baton of faith. Fathers, don't fumble the passing of the baton of faith to your children. Because something much more important than an Olympic medal is at stake. Their soul, their eternal soul is at stake. Lead your family to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. Lamech named his son Noah. He named his son Noah, which means comfort or rest. And naming his son this was a prophetic act of faith because he believed that Noah would be God's instrument to bring relief from the oppressive sinfulness that was pervading society. And indeed, Noah became God's instrument of salvation to keep the human race from being completely annihilated when the judgment of God came in the flood. Through Noah building an ark in obedience to God's word, he and his family were saved and able to repopulate the earth because he found grace in the sight of God. Through Noah, his sons, and by extension, the human race, was saved from destruction and given a new beginning because of Noah's faithfulness. That was God's purpose for Noah's life. And because of Lamech's relationship with God, he understood that. And even through the name that he gave his son, he guided his son to fulfill God's purpose for his life. Fathers, parents, help your children discover and fulfill God's will for their lives. You know, sometimes as parents, we want to help our kids find the best paying career. Amen? That's not going to matter in eternity. The most important thing we can do is to help our children discover and fulfill God's will and God's purpose for their lives. God has a calling for each and every one of us. He has a calling for your children. And his calling may be to serve and bring him glory through a particular profession. Or it may be a calling for your children to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. All of us are called to serve God full time and to share the gospel wherever we are.
Go ahead, Pastor.
But whatever God's calling is for them, you want to help them discover that. Whatever it is, help your child to learn to be sensitive to God. Help your child to learn to hear God's voice. You remember Samuel when God was talking to him and he was like 5 or 6 years old? And he would hear this voice that would say, Samuel. And he thought that it was Eli. And he would go running to Eli and he'd say, Eli, did you call me? And he's like, no, I didn't call you. Samuel would go back to bed and he'd hear this voice again, Samuel. And he ran again. And then the third time, Eli said, it must be God. Listen to what he's saying. And that's when this little child received a call to be the prophet of Israel. So parents, you need to teach your children to be sensitive to hear the voice of God so that they can discover what God's call and purpose is for their life. And then help encourage them to step out in faith and obey God's calling. Let me tell you something. Nobody remembers Lamech's name. In fact, prior to this sermon, some of you may never have even heard Lamech's name. I personally have never heard a sermon preached on Lamech. But Noah is very well known. In fact, just a couple years ago, Hollywood made a movie titled Noah. They took some liberties and twisted the story a little bit, but it was loosely the story of Noah and the flood. But Noah is very well known, and Noah played a key role in God's saving purpose. And a lot of that is because of Lamech's influence in Noah's life. Noah's relationship with God and his ministry of bringing salvation to the world through building an ark was Lamech's greatest accomplishment in this life and for eternity. What his son did is a testimony to the influence Lamech had in his life, and the fact that through Noah, the human race was saved is the greatest accomplishment that Lamech had. Fathers, what is your greatest accomplishment? Is it your college degree? Is it the business that you're building? Is it your profession? Is it your bank account? Because one day, that's all going to be left behind. I love what Dr. Tony Evans says. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul.
You better tell the truth.
Can't take any of that with you. Amen.
I've never seen a hearse pulling. My father used to say that.
Can't take any of that. None of that matters in eternity.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what you can take with you? Your children.
Yes.
Your family. All the people that you have touched for Christ. You can take those to heaven with you when their time comes. Amen. Because in the end, that's all that matters. I want to close with a story of a group of first graders who were asked to draw a picture of God in their Sunday school class. And you know, they all had their interesting take on the concept of God, and some of them very unusual theology. But one child depicted God in the form of a brightly colored rainbow because she remembered the story of Noah and the flood and how God gave a rainbow to say he would never destroy the earth again by a flood. And folks, that is the real significance of a rainbow, not what it's used for today. Amen? So one child drew a rainbow. Another presented him as an old man with a big beard coming out of the clouds. One little boy drew God with a remarkable resemblance to Superman with a big S, you know, on his chest. But the best picture came from a little girl. She said, I didn't really know what God looked like, but I just kind of figured he's a lot like my dad. So I drew a picture of my dad.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great if our children would be able to see God living in our lives,
yes,
to that extent that they would say, I figure God is a lot like my dad.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Go ahead, Pastor.
That's what God desires. And the first step to being the father or the parent that God has called you to be, a parent whose life is a testimony that will lead your children or grandchildren to love and serve God. That all starts by giving our heart to Christ. Why? Because we are all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not even one. We have all fallen short of God's standard. Every one of us. And because we're sinners, sin has cut us off from God. Our relationship with God is broken. That's the whole reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth. He lived a sinless life. He offered that life on the cross for us. He paid a penalty he didn't deserve. He paid for our sins. So that now when we repent, and the word repent simply means to turn away from. It means we recognize we've been heading in the wrong direction. We've been living life our way without regard for God, and our way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man. The end thereof is destruction. So we realize we've been on the wrong road. We've been living life our way rather than God's way, and it's heading to destruction. So we say, God, I'm making a U-turn. I don't want to live that way anymore. Forgive me for living that way. I turn away from that, and I turn to you in faith. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and come live inside of me. The moment that we do that, Jesus says we become born again. We are made spiritually alive. We are brought into right relationship with God. And that is the beginning of a lifelong relationship with God so that we can become like Enoch, someone who walks in close fellowship with God. And we can pass that on to others, especially to our children. So I want to encourage you right now, if you have never given your heart to Christ in the way that I just described, or maybe you did so several years ago and you've drifted away, but you can feel God tugging at your heart and you know you need to come to Him. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me and pray this simple prayer. You online that are watching us, pray this prayer with us as well. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me, and I turn to you in faith. I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life and welcome you to the family of God. Amen. Now, as I said, that prayer is a beginning, not an ending. It's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with God, just like Noah walked, just like Enoch walked with God throughout his life. Noah walked with God. This is a beginning point, all right? We need to grow closer in our relationship with God. How do we do that? Well, we want to help you. And the way we want to help you is by sending you free of charge a little booklet. It's a short booklet that will help you understand the prayer you just prayed and how to keep growing in your relationship with God. In order to send that booklet to you free of charge, we do need your name and email address. We're going to ask you just to text I prayed to the number on the screen. Just text I prayed to the number on the screen. And if you're at home, just type I prayed in the comments. A little later today, you're going to get a response message with a link. Click that link, fill in your name and your email address. And then we're going to send you free of charge this little booklet. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you that just prayed and every Christian to do three things regularly. These three things will help you to keep growing in your relationship with God. One, talk to God every day. He's our Heavenly Father. He loves to converse with us. How do we talk with God? It's called prayer. You don't need any special language. Just talk to God like you would a friend. Start by giving Him thanks for all the good things in your life because every good thing comes from Him. And then talk to Him about whatever problems or difficulties or decisions that you're making and ask His help. At a very basic level, that's the beginning of prayer. Amen? Secondly, let God talk to you every day. You say, well, Pastor, how does God talk to us? Well, He talks to us through His Spirit, but the number one way He talks to us is through the Bible. That's His Word, His message to us. And if you don't have a printed Bible, you can download the YouVersion app for free on your phone. You can read as much as you want. There's never a charge. I encourage you to start reading in 1 John. It's a short book in the New Testament that will help you understand who Jesus is and what He's done for you. Every day before you read, just read a few verses and pray, God, help me to understand what I'm reading. What He wants you to understand at that moment, you will understand and pray and ask His help to apply it. If you don't understand something, put it to the side. When you need to understand it, God will help you to know what it means. And then thirdly, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in the South Florida area, of course, we would love for you to be a part of our New Life Church family. We have a wonderful church family that will help to encourage you, pray with you, and walk alongside of you. If you're watching us and you're outside of the South Florida area, then find a local Assembly of God church near to you and get connected. Put some roots down. Don't just attend services, but start building relationships. That's so crucial to our spiritual growth. If we do these three things regularly, we will continue growing in our relationship with the Lord. But once again, congratulations to all of you that prayed, and welcome to the family of God. As we close our service, I want to speak to all the dads and parents out there. God chose you for the task of raising your kids to love and serve Him and help them to fulfill their calling and purpose that He has for their lives. I want to challenge you as dads and parents to commit or recommit yourself to living your life as a godly testimony before your children, to committing yourself to walk closely with God like Enoch and Noah, and to leave a legacy of faith for your kids and grandkids by passing on to them the gift of faith and by leading them to love and serve the Lord. That's the most important thing and the greatest accomplishment that you can do. And dads and parents, if you want to make that commitment today to live your life as a testimony and to leave a legacy of faith for your children that they will love and serve the Lord, I want to ask you to stand to your feet. Would you do that? Stand to your feet just as a sign of commitment to the Lord. You that are at home as well, if you want to make this commitment, stand to your feet and let's pray. You speak to God for yourself as I pray over us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these dads and parents that are standing, Lord God. Father, as we stand before you, we are humbled by your word, Lord God. We hear your voice. We know what you're calling us to do, and we need the help of your Holy Spirit. As we stand before you, we commit ourselves to live our life as a testimony of godliness before our children, so that they would see us walking in close fellowship with you like Enoch and Noah. And Father, we commit ourselves to leave a legacy of faith for our children, so that they will see us loving and serving you, and that we will teach them to love and serve you, Lord God. And Father, help us to be an instrument of salvation, to lead our families to salvation in you, and to lead everybody that we come and come into contact with and within our sphere of influence, that we would be an instrument of your salvation and of your grace in their lives, but particularly in our homes, that we and our families might serve the Lord. We make this commitment today, and we ask the help of your Holy Spirit to live it out long after the service is ended. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.